A couple of weeks ago, I let you in on the poorly kept secret that I made a stupid comment before the season began that if the Oakland Raiders made the playoffs, I would cut my hair and wear it for a week like Raiders owner Mark Davis. What happened last night pushes the Raiders right into the playoff conversation. They have terrible teams on their schedule like the Jets and the Bengals and the Titans. I see a path to 10 or 11 wins in a playoff spot for the Raiders, but you're going to tell me I'm wrong because you don't want me to look like an idiot for a week, right?
Wow. Man, that's a lot of responsibility to start things off here.
Just tell me they're going to miss the playoffs and I'm good.
No, you're in trouble.
Yes,
you're in big trouble.
Charles.
You're in big trouble because right now, by you describing that haircut, I'm seeing not just you looking like Mark Davis, but maybe Ben Stiller is Simple Jack in the movie Tropic Thunder.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Listen, I'm here
now,
for it.
Now I'm in some pain right now. That one hurt me to even get there. But you're right about the schedule. And last night was such a pivotal game, and we all knew it going in. I mean, it wasn't like it was an original thought. You know, we're like, okay, will the Chargers win tonight and start that elevation that we're used to seeing from the Chargers the second half of the year, right? And it's almost like setting your watch, isn't it? The Chargers struggle in the first half. They get hot. Sometimes they make the playoffs. Sometimes they miss it by a game. The Raiders, we weren't really sure, but we've seen a little bit of evidence because let's be frank about it. What they did in London to Chicago, now that we look back, they're the ones that really kind of started Chicago's descent. And now you look at this Raiders team, this lost a couple of games along the way that maybe they should have won. Maybe they're learning how to win now in the second year under John Gruden. That's a big deal. I still believe Kansas City wins the division, but Oakland has a great opportunity to compete for a wild card spot because they're not going to all be filled by all the other divisions. So this is going to be an interesting race. For your sake, I hope they miss it by a game. I really do, because I really don't want you to have that haircut.
Why would you take
really
all
don't.
The fun away from me, Charles? This is the only thing I'm living for at this point in time.
Ashley, I can't understand that you'd really want to look at that. I think in your mind, this is something that you're like, yeah, this would be kind of funny. And then about an hour in, you'd be like, oh, no. Get him a hat, please.
Charles.
Please get him a hat.
Charles, if you had $1 billion and you could look like anything, why would you choose to look like Mark Davis chooses to look? Like, who gets up in the morning and says, you know what? That's it. That's me right there. White tracksuit, Lloyd Christmas. That's me.
Well, you know, part of that is following the tradition of dad. And, you know, and when you do things for family, sometimes that part kind of gets left out. You know, it's an honor, it's a tribute, it's all those things. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to go with, and that's what I'm going to stick with, because anything else, I might get fined by the league myself. So I'm not going to go there.
Listen, I'm here for self-preservation,
and
my friend.
That part. Okay. But, you know, there's times, I'm sure, when I was, you know, at a certain stage of my life, I looked in the mirror and said, jump back, kiss myself. I'm headed out the door. As soon as I headed out the door, everybody said, you need to go back in. So you never know.
Shout out to glow ups. I think that's the common theme here. All right, let's move it along quickly here, because I do want to talk to you about the Carolina Panthers and their game coming up against Green Bay. Less so about the matchup specifically, but Cam Newton, IR, done for the season. So Kyle Allen,
By the way, Ashley, we talked about that a few weeks ago. That's one of the few I got right.
Yes.
I told you guys that was coming.
Yes, sing your praises. Let's toot that horn because now it's
one of the few.
Now it's Kyle Allen's team, right? Does this change his approach? Does this make him feel as though he has a sense of pressure, or maybe on a positive spin, a sense of ownership around this team, since the big shadow is not looming over him that Cam Newton might return and take away what he's done for this group so far?
Well, based on the outside evidence we've seen, I think Kyle Allen has it figured out, because you saw what he did as soon as they put Cam on IR.
Mm-hmm.
Is he went out and publicly praised him and thanked him, you know, for showing the way, setting the example, you know, for being that guy, making sure that Cam Newton, you know, felt like he was still, or let everybody know, I'm not just taking over this team and jumping up on the table and go, okay, he's on IR, it's my team now. he'll just do it by his play. He'll do it by continuing to be himself. But I think for this team is the best move that they could possibly make. If he truly wasn't healthy, you needed to go ahead and eliminate all the rest of the questions. You needed to eliminate the idea that Cam was looming and possibly could come back. Remember the loss they had, what was it, 2 weeks ago? And he's, remember that shot on the sidelines in San Francisco where Cam was sitting next to Kyle Allen?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a meme, and everybody was talking about it. And it was kind of like, hey, Kyle, yeah, now you know what it's like. I'll be back soon. Nope, he's not coming back. Kyle's got the team. The team's played pretty darn well under him. They just need to go ahead and acknowledge that and move on. But it does not have to be one of those things where Kyle Allen sees his power. We have a coronation. There's none of that. He just needs to go ahead and play. And ownership, management, they're the ones who have the big decision to make in the offseason. With or Cam Newton, what do we do? But I did hear someone in the airport when I was traveling yesterday. I heard her talking to a friend. She said, I'm a huge Carolina Panthers fan, and I can't believe with Cam, but we can trade him and get a number one pick.
Oh.
I felt like saying, I don't know how to break it to you.
Nope.
No one's given a number one for Cam. It's just not going to happen.
So what do they do with him? What's his value in your opinion? And who do you think would be, I guess, chasing after him in this day? Because I made the point yesterday that we saw what some rest did for the physique, the mental welfare of someone like Rob Gronkowski, who some people still think might come back. So this time off, although it's probably a bit of a roadblock in his career path, the way he sees it, it could do wonders for him. And I'm not saying he's going to be the quarterback that he was before, but I think he still has value in this league.
Yeah, agreed. He does have value in the league. It won't be nearly what his MVP level was. I mean, no one's going to trade a one, as we just established there, in my humble opinion. I would say probably the bidding starts as a third rounder. That's where I would say it would probably start. Maybe go a little bit lower than that, depending, and maybe a few other things that go into it. But here's the kicker. You ask the question, who is going to want to make the move? Because remember, Cam Newton, as great as he is, it's a different deal with him at quarterback, meaning you've got to invest entirely in Cam's style and what he does best. And there aren't many teams that do that. And so that's going to be the interesting thing. I've already heard, Chicago, they should do that. Matt Nagy has no background as an offensive play caller and a guy with a quarterback who moves like that, runs like that. And here's the other thing. He's been hurt each of the last three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
At his age, all the accumulated hits, it's going to take a lot for someone to say, this is where we go. Heard Cincinnati. Well, Cincinnati's playing so poorly, they're like, we're about to pick a quarterback number one. I don't know that we trade for Cam Newton if you're going to pick a quarterback number one. He'll find a place somewhere if indeed this comes to pass, but it may be a surprise place, and it may be a place where someone says, we're not going to give you a high draft pick. We're going to take him, but they'll also have an insurance policy in place, meaning another quarterback that's there.
With Charles Davis of the NFL on Fox, this is Lead Off with Ashley, Ziggy, and Scotty Mack, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Charles is in New Orleans, where the Saints and Falcons will play this weekend. Dan Quinn feels like he's just riding this thing out. We'll move past that, though, Charles, because Monday night, San Francisco at 8-0 will host Seattle. And, with the 49ers, Tim Kawakami, who I'm addicted to reading from The Athletic, wrote a brilliant piece this week, and it's so true. Everything the 49ers are always relates to their relationship with the Seahawks. Now, it is clear, and I do declare my bias as a 49ers fan here, but it is clear to me that the 49ers are the better team, but Russell Wilson is the equalizing factor. Now, San Francisco has questions. Kittle may not play with a knee ankle problem suffered in the Arizona game a week ago last night. Robbie Gould, the 49ers kicker, has got a quad problem. He may not be able to go. They may have to go outside to sign a kicker for this game. We know that Quan Alexander is done for the year with the torn pec. How do you break this game down? The 49ers defensive line able to get to the quarterback, but Russell so often able to flush out and create plays. How do you see this cat and mouse game playing out, and who do you like on Monday night?
Yeah, everything that you put out there is perfectly on the table, and it makes so much sense. And I co-sign on Tim Kawakami and his writing. He's excellent. I've been following him for years. Let's look at it from San Francisco's perspective. Yes, they have some injuries, but they also are still pretty darn loaded. So if you're Seattle now and you're trying to do what you want to do best, which is run the football, it's a pretty formidable front you're still trying to run against, isn't it? So there's no guarantee that Seattle run game gets activated the way that it normally does. Second part is the wideouts for Seattle. Tyler Lockett's the one that no one talks about, except we're always talking about a highlight play he made, you know, a highlight play or two. But no one ever says, best receivers in the league, Tyler Lockett. And then you look up and watch him in primetime games and you go, how did he catch that? How did he keep his feet down? How did he even see that football? He does it every single week. He provides big plays for them. That allows DK Metcalf to continue to come along. I'm not bullish on the Josh Gordon signing, but I understand why they did it, because it's the type of environment, the type of head coach that gives them an opportunity to maybe they'll reap the benefits. I told you at the beginning of the season it wasn't going to work again in New England. I don't think it's going to work in Seattle over time, but we'll see what happens in the short term. Now, go ahead with San Francisco, and remember, Seattle's defensive front has not rushed the passer very well this year. So if you're Jimmy Garoppolo coming off the big game on Thursday night, yes, Kittle may or may not play, but he has to be extremely confident now, and they're still going to test the heck out of him in the run game. They're going to still see if Seattle can hold up in that. This is not the Legion of Boom. They're talented on defense, but they're not the Legion of Boom. I still think San Francisco overall has a little bit of an advantage in this game. But again, you know, big stage now, huge performances, and this is one the country grasps onto, because beating up on Carolina, the country didn't really get on board with that one. This one they will, and I have to admit, my colleagues over at ESPN and ABC, congratulations. They finally have a Monday night game this year that feels like the Monday night games we all grew up with, right? Because this is the one. You know, this is the one we're all pointing to. And what a way to finish the week. These two going at it in prime time, that's kind of cool. I'm really excited about it. I still think San Francisco is a little bit better than Seattle. But you're right. Russell Wilson may be the greatest eraser in the league.
So it's inevitably going to be a dud of a game then. After all this build-up.
10-6.
That's how it always works.
That's how it is, right? I actually, just to kind of jump on that thought, I was actually really surprised with Jimmy Garoppolo's only throwing 13 touchdowns. We were talking about it a little bit before. If you look at the success that San Francisco has had, I think most people would be surprised to see that just a Baker's dozen in terms of touchdowns with his team's level of wins.
Yeah, but you also have to remember, well, we all get reminded, because I think when we talk about offensive wizards and great play callers, immediately we think of throwing the football.
Right.
It's just natural, right? Every great offense that we've ever talked about in the NFL have had names that suggest throwing the football. West Coast offense, Air Coryell, you know, the silver stretch at one point in Detroit when we were running to run and shoot, all those types of things. The K-Gun with Jim Kelly. No one ever talks about, we are the biggest, baddest running team you've ever seen. Well, that's how San Francisco does it.
Mm-hmm.
Going into last weekend, they led the league in number of rushes and percentage of running plays, you know, throughout the season. Now, do you really think of offensive wizards that do that? Not very often, but that's who Kyle Shanahan is. It is a run-based offense, and he's done it with guys, Matt Breida, undrafted. Raheem Mostert, supposed to be a special teams guy. Wilson Jr., no one who knew who he was. Tevin Coleman was their most recognizable guy. Yet they continue to run the football and run it effectively. And that's going to be the beauty of watching them continue to go. Because I think if they continue to do that, Garoppolo will get better and better, and we'll see more performances like we saw on Thursday night against Arizona.
With Charles Davis of the NFL on Fox on leadoff.
So we do want to get to the Antonio Brown stuff, but first, we'd be remiss if we didn't at least talk about the Buffalo Bills and everybody's favorite team to hate, the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland has not had the success at home, and when you talk about offensive strategy and what you're going to do to be able to get the most out of your team, what possibly, in your mind, do you think the Browns can do to get this one over the Bills? Because the Bills setting themselves up for 7 wins on Sunday if they win.
Yeah, with a very good defense and a reason to do that. And I love how you announced Cleveland as everyone's team, favorite team to hate. A friend of mine texted me the other night. He was watching something, and one of Baker Mayfield's commercials came on. And the reason I knew it was because I wasn't watching at the same time. The text said, all the tech said was, "Would you just get her a straw for God's sakes?" And that was all. That's all the tech said. That was. I said, "Oh my God, he's on Baker Mayfield again." So you're exactly right. People can't wait to take shots at this team. But this team sets itself up for it. Every week, the things that you're discussing aren't always necessarily what went wrong or what happened on the field. We're discussing those guys changing their cleats at halftime last week. How do you not know the rule about the proper cleats? And does the equipment manager just get so overrun that he or she can't say, "Oh, guys, that's going to be a problem"? Probably with the personalities they have. We're talking about that. One week we're talking about what watch OBJ's wearing.
Right.
We're talking about now, should we force feed the ball to OBJ? Why do you even have to discuss force feeding the ball to a talent like that? Why don't you just locate him and throw him the darn football? By the way, on that last play, it was a one-on-one. You're not going to give him a chance one-on-one? Mayfield's the quarterback. He should know that. Give him a chance with the football. Buffalo's defense going in, and then they go to Cleveland, correct?
Yes, they're in Cleveland.
Before the season, I think everyone saw this as a Cleveland win. I think Buffalo goes in there and gets them again. And, boy, we really got a lot to discuss at that point, because you're still sitting there waiting for Cleveland to find a way to get hot. We're running out of time. And all these conversations, 90% of them are not about how they're going to get better. 90% of them are all the issues that put them in the position they're in. What watch? What cleats? Should we do this? Should we do that? Let's talk some football, Cleveland, and maybe a chance to have a chance to win some games.
Now, Charles, before I let you go, just want to ask you about Antonio Brown really quickly. Released by the Raiders, the Patriots, absolute mess for the league.
You got to bring me down, just, before we go at it.
We got to get messy, Charles. We got to get a little sloppy once in a while.
Man, you're harshing my mellow, as they say. Go ahead.
And if you're the league now, have you not had enough? He's taken to Twitter, taken to Instagram. I mean, I'm sure you saw the comments about how he's done with the league and then kind of backtracks later on. Is he never coming back again?
I don't say that. He's too darn talented in this league. There's always room for a rogue in the league if the rogue wants to act somewhat right. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing I would say if I'm involved with the league. I'd get all this stuff adjudicated as fast as I could with him, because he's almost turned, in some ways, they've turned him into a martyr type figure. Because you guys might be surprised the number of people that are like, "Man, I can't believe how the league's keeping AB out." What? The league? Didn't he do that?
Yeah.
No, I can't. You know, league, they won't let him get signed. What? He's the one who wanted out of Pittsburgh, wanted out of Oakland, found his way out of New England. New England.
Yeah.
How'd you find your way out of New England? It's pretty darn good there. The water's warm there, folks. So I don't understand that, but I am now reading, hearing, you know, friends of mine, people around the league. Yeah, you know, they're doing their best to keep AB out. I think AB's doing his best to keep AB out. But the league needs to get all this taken care of, interview him, do all the stuff. If there's something to issue their statement, issue their punishment, if there is, whatever. But get it out there so that everybody knows if there's a path back for him, and all the teams that are asking the league, should we sign him? What's the suspension going to be? Get it all cleared up so at least we know then everyone can make their decision about whether to bring him back or not. You guys know where I stand on that. He wouldn't be anywhere near my team. I don't care if I'm old for the season. I don't care if I'm perfect for the season, because I've seen him blow it up too many other places. There should be golden spots. You leave Pittsburgh, you're always a contender. You leave Oakland, well, they're 5-4 now, so you could have helped them rise up. You leave New England. Enough said.
You're always great, Charles. And if the Raiders make the playoffs, I'm cutting my hair like Charles Davis, not like Mark Davis. That's the decision I've made. Thank you.
Well, that would make things perfectly easy for you, because there's not much to cut.